morning, everybody. We'd like to welcome everyone back after the break that we took over the summer. Nice to see the returning members of the Shir and also Baruch Hashem to greet some new people who are here. I would like to just to begin by thanking Mr. Harvey Lipman, for everything that he does to make this possible. As well as the people here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Esther Friedman and Marty First, who are working very hard to make sure that the shir is able to run smoothly. I also would acknowledge the yard side of Sultana Bas Rivka, that Abraham Gessel's grandmother, which is today. The Parshas Noach brings to mind, when we think of Parshas Noach, it brings to mind the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, right? And the seven mitzvahs, the what's called the Noahide laws, the seven mitzvahs which were given to the B'nei Noach. And we begin here on the sheet on side one. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav, tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Sheva Mitzvahs Nitzavu B'nei Noach, that there were seven mitzvahs that the children of Noach, meaning that the non-Jews, were commanded. And they are Dinim, that there should be an establishment of courts, there should be a legal system. Birchas Hashem, which is a euphemism, Birchas Hashem literally means blessing God, but it doesn't mean that, it means the opposite, it means that they are not allowed to curse God's name. Avodah Zarah, they are not allowed to the idolaters. Gilui Arayos, they have to observe the laws of morality, they cannot marry certain people, which are considered for certain women are forbidden to certain situations, which are forbidden to them. Shvichas damim, murder is prohibited to the goyim. Gezel, they're not allowed to steal. The Eber min hachai, and they're not allowed to eat flesh from a living animal. These are the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach that even non-Jews are commanded. Now, obviously, we also have these mitzvahs. We also have these mitzvahs. We have an additional 606 mitzvahs that were given to us. Right? You may recall that when it comes Shavuos and they speak about Rus, so it's pointed out that the gematria of the word Rus is 606. Because of the fact that when Rus converted, so she accepted 606 additional mitzvahs. The seven basic mitzvahs that the non-Jews have, the Jews, we also have. We don't have them exactly the way they have them. There are certain differences. The list of Arayos is more extensive by Jews than it is by non-Jews. The laws of Abram and Achai are actually stricter by non-Jews than they are by Jews. But essentially, these seven mitzvahs are included in what we have, and there is grand total, we have 613 mitzvahs, the non-Jews have these seven mitzvahs. Now, I just want to point out something which will probably be surprising to you, which is that even though these are called the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, these are the seven mitzvahs that were given to the children of Noach, so people think that who received these mitzvahs, who were these mitzvahs commanded to? These mitzvahs were probably commanded to Noach, to tell his children. But in fact, that is not so. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, the Gemara derives from a pasuk, that the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach were commanded by Hashem to Adam Harishon. That they were commanded to Adam, and the Gemara derives it from a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, that the mitzvahs were given to Adam. There is a question whether Abram and Achai was commanded to Adam, because after all, as we know from a pasuk in yesterday's parsha, Adam Arishon was not permitted to eat from an animal. He was not allowed to eat meat. He could only eat from things which grew from the ground. That the heter to eat from animals and birds was given to Noah. So as such, some say it would have been pointless to command Adam Arishon that he can't eat Abram and Achai, because he couldn't eat from an animal under any circumstances. So that is a discussion in the Rishonim. From the Gemara, it seems that even that was given to Adam Arishon. But whatever the case may be, these are the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Now, we find in the Rambam, just going down the list here of the Maamar Kama, so the Rambam tells us that in the Hilchos Malachim, this is in the 8th parak of the Hilchos Malachim, Halacha Yud, the Rambam tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu lo himchil atarav ha-mitzvahs el Yisrael. As far as the other 606 mitzvahs, as far as the ones that we have beyond the 7 Noahide mitzvahs, so the Rambam tells us that the Torah and the mitzvahs were given to the Jewish people, shenemar morosho kihilas Yaakov, as it says in the pasuk that we read on Simchas Torah, Torah Tivolanu Moshe, Morosha, that is the Torah is the inheritance of Kehilas Yaakov, of the congregation of Jacob, of the Jewish people. So therefore the mitzvahs were given to the Jews, the other mitzvahs. Uchol arotze lehizgayer mishara umos. Okay, and also as well it was given to anyone from the nations who would want to convert. Shenemar kochem kager. Aval, he says, Mishalo Ratza, somebody who's not interested in accepting the 606 mitzvahs. So Ein Kofen also will Kabbal Torah mitzvahs. We're not in the business of going around and trying to make people that they should accept the 606 additional mitzvahs. A non-Jew, there is no inyan to go ahead and tell them that, you know, there are so many more mitzvahs that you could do. You only have 7, we have 613. Why don't you come and try to, you know, be, you could have a greater lot if you join us. So the Rambam tells us that we don't do that. We don't do that. We certainly don't force anybody to do that. And he continues and he says, "V'chein siva Moshe Rabbeinu in Piyagvura," says the Rambam, a second fact, that Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, this is not known popularly known, that on Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was also told, "Lokuf es kol boi ha'olam, v'kavo kol mitzvah shenitzav in Noach." That on Har Sinai there was also the command, which we don't find in the Chumash, but this is a tradition that we have, that the Jewish people, that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded on Har Sinai that the 7 mitzvahs of B'nai Noach should be enforced. In other words, by the time they got to Har Sinai, the mitzvahs were given to Adam Arishon. There was a lot of water under the bridge. By the time they got to Har Sinai, there were many generations, over 20 generations passed from Adam until Har Sinai. And at that point, you had a lot of things that had gone on in the world. There was a lot of immorality. There was a lot of idolatry. So Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded that the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach should be accepted, that people had to be forced to accept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And the Rambam says, "On the Kabbalosam who are Nikra Ger Toshav B'chol Mokom," that a person, the non-Jews were supposed to accept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and if they wanted to live amongst the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, so they had to have the status of what's called a Ger Toshav. The Ger Toshav means a non-Jew, doesn't mean a ger literally, but means a non-Jew who lives amongst the Jewish nation. Such a person can only do so if they accept to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which means that a non-Jew who is a moral person but is a member, observes a different religion, is a member of a different religion, is not fulfilling the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. In other words, so we don't realize this. We think a lot of times that, you know, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is that a person should be a mensch, and he should, you know, he shouldn't steal, should be just, which we have amongst the Goyim. But one of them is that a person has to recognize Hashem as God. And that is something that is in the world today extremely, extremely rare amongst non-Jews. But the fact of the matter is that a person who did so, a non-Jew who did so, was an observance of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and such a person had the status of a Ger Toshav. And the Rambam continues here in Halacha Yud Aleph and says, Kol HaMekabel Sheva Mitzvahs V'Nidr La'Sosam, that any non-Jew who accepts the 7 laws and is scrupulous in their observance, Hare Zeh Mechaside Umos HaOlam, such a person is considered from the pious amongst the nations, V'Yesh Lo Chelek Olam HaBot, And that non-Jew will have a share in the world to come. So when we say Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lam Chelak Olam Haba, when we read Pirkei Avos in the summer, it's not to the exclusion necessarily of non-Jews, because a non-Jew could also have a share in the world to come, says the Rambam, provided that he goes by the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. This is what the Rambam tells us. So therefore, the seven laws that the non-Jews were given have a great significance, a very, very great significance, and the fact is that a non-Jew who lived in Eretz Yisrael, which was the only place that Jews ever had any jurisdiction, a non-Jew who lived in Eretz Yisrael, we would not necessarily force him to say, well, you're here, you have to accept Judaism. No, you don't have to accept the other 606 mitzvahs if you don't want to. If you want to, fine. If you don't, then you become a ger. If not, not. But you have to keep these seven. And the Rambam says that a person who keeps these seven would be considered mechaside umos ha'olam, from the highest amongst the nations, the yesh lo chel v'olam ha'fa. Okay. So now, this is the halacha of the Sheva Mitzvot. Now the question is, which was really the topic of today's shiur, which is, what happens if you have a non-Jew who says, okay, I will keep the seven mitzvahs, and I am not necessarily interested in accepting the other 606 mitzvahs, I'm not interested in going all the way. However, I would like to observe some of the mitzvahs. And Blaine put it in our terms, what would be if on Sukkot, you know, your cleaning lady in the house saw everyone shaking a lulav and said, you know, I'd like to try that also, you know, give me a chance. When's my turn? I had to line up to try to participate in the mitzvah. Can they do that or not? Is that an option that exists or not? So now, as far as we know, the goyim, the non-Jews, are prohibited from two mitzvahs. That is known, this is widely known, that there are two mitzvahs that are prohibited for goyim under any circumstances. And those are the mitzvahs of learning Torah, which you may recall was the topic of the shir last year, Parshas Noach, whether you're allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. Right? That the Gemara says, also, Torah Tivolonu Moshe, Morosha Kehilas Yaakov, and therefore it would be considered Kseila for the non-Jews to take it because it belongs to the Jews, and therefore that would be a violation of one of the seven laws. That's one. And the other is Shabbos. The other law which is prohibited to the non-Jews is the mitzvah of Shabbos. And the reason for that is based on a pasuk which we find in yesterday's parsha, one of the more remarkable drushes that we find in the Chazal. And that is that at the end of the Mabul, so we know it's derived from Sukkim that during the year of the Mabul, the seasons ceased. There were no seasons. It was like Miami. There was no winter, there was no summer, there was no spring, there was no fall. Right? During the Mabul, nature stood still. And whatever happened, happened. Once the Mabul ended, so we find there's a pasuk that Hashem said to Noah, that he said that forever from now on, that from this point on, the world is going to run on nature. Even though the world from the outset ran also on nature, but nature ceased for 1 year during the Mabul. Everything went haywire during that year. There was no day, there was no night, there was no seasons. Everything was on a standstill. So Hashem said to Noah that from now on, everything is going to run Yom Bo Kayetz V'Chorev. There's going to be winter, there's going to be summer, there's going to be winter. Yom Bo Kar V'Chom, there's going to be cold weather and there's going to be hot weather. Yom Bo Laila Lo Yishvosu, and day and night will not cease. So literally, that pasuk is just saying that the world will continue to run normally. However, we find in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and I apologize, this is not on the sheet, the Gemara in Daf Nun Ches in Sanhedrin tells us an amazing drasha that the Gemara says that Omar Reish Lakish Ove Kochavim Sheshavas Chayiv Nisa, that a guy is not allowed to observe a day of rest Okay, Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Yom v'layla lo yishbosu. That it says in this pasuk that Hashem said to Noah, Yom v'layla lo yishbosu. That which literally, in the simple interpretation of the pasuk, means that day and night will not cease, meaning that the world will continue to run. The sun will come up, the sun will go down, unlike what happened during the Mabul. However, the Gemara interprets this pasuk with Derech Drush differently. Yom v'layla lo yishbosu, that day and night they shall not rest. Not referring to the sun and the moon, but rather referring to people. Yom v'layla lo yishbosu, they cannot go 24 hours without work. 24, there cannot be a yom v'layla that there should be a shvisa. This is a remarkable drasha which we find in the Gemara. And the Gemara continues and says, Amar Avina, afilu sheni b'shabbos. This would be true, not only if it was on what we consider Shabbos, but the non-Jews were instructed by this pasuk to never have a day of rest. There cannot be a day of rest, even if they would decide Sunday, which we have in the other religions, that Sunday has been designated in some manner as a quasi day of rest. The Gemara says, even if it, apparently that existed even in the time of the Gemara, because Rashi points out that the Gemara says, even on Monday, even if they arbitrarily picked a day and said, today is going to be our day of rest, they cannot do that. And the reason for that is because we have a pasuk, Yom v'layla lo yishbosu. An amazing thing. Especially to stay on a holiday weekend, right? As we look at Sunday and Columbus Day, and you know the great American innovation of long weekends, long holiday weekends. But we are instructed here: the Goyim and the non-Jews were told Yom V'Layla Lo Yishbosu. So, based on this, we have two halachas. We have a halacha that a non-Jew is not allowed to study the Torah, except for the sections that deal with the seven mitzvahs that they are allowed to discuss. And also, a non-Jew cannot observe a day of rest. So that removes two from the list. So we're down to 604. But yes.
The day of rest for the non-Jews
right.
would be like our day of rest.
Yeah, so it seems that way. Would it be 39 malachas? I don't know about that. But it means without doing some sort of work. It doesn't mean if it happened, just so happened to be that way. In other words, it's not really a problem the way we have in our culture Sunday, because it's not a day of rest per se. It's just a day you don't go to work, but you could do work in your house, as every woman knows, right? That's the day that my husband is going to fix all the problems in the house. So that's not really considered a day of shvisa in that sense. In other words, a day of rest would mean that they're saying that this is a day that we don't do anything. You know, I don't know that what goes on by us would qualify for that. But the fact of the matter is that if they would want to make an imitation of Shabbos, like there is out there in a some sort of religious observance with it, I don't know exactly the ins and outs of it, but Seventh Day Adventist or whatever, with if you want to say that I want to replicate the Jewish Shabbos, yeah. So that cannot be done.
This would make 9 mitzvahs of Noah.
This would make it 7 plus 2, right. The Gemara discusses why are these two mitzvahs not included. That's discussed here in the Gemara. I don't want to go into it. That's here in the Gemara Nunchas and Beis Nunchas and Aleph and Sanhedrin. Why it's not included in the list. So anyway, so that's it. But what about the rest of them? What about the rest of them? Can a non-Jew do it? Not only that, but the question is, can a non-Jew do it and say... And say I want schar for this. I want to be rewarded. I shook a lulav too, but I was standing in Publix. You know, I went to Publix to buy some food on Kol Mitzvah. There was a Lubavitcher fellow standing by the door, going over to all the Jews. So I did it also. So I want to know if I can get. I'd like to apply that I should. I did a mitzvah. I did a mitzvah, and I should get schar for this. Right? Many opportunities for mitzvahs come up. So naturally, intuitively, we would all say, that's not possible, because the fact is that the mitzvahs, the other 606 mitzvahs, were only given to Jews, the goyim are removed from it, and therefore there's nothing to talk about. However, remarkably, we find here again on the sheet side 1, the third source, The Rambam tells us in the 10th parak of Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Yud, what seems to be a remarkable thing. The Rambam says, Ben Noach, Sherotza Lasos Mitzvah, Mishar Mitzvah Satorah, that if a non-Jew wants to observe a mitzvah from the other mitzvahs of the Torah, Kidei Wakabel Schar, in order to receive reward. Now he says, listen, I believe, I see, you know, you guys do all these mitzvahs and you do it with the faith that one day you'll be rewarded for this. So I want a piece of the action also. I'd like to get in on this also. Says the Rambam, Ein monin oso lazos oso gehilchosa. That we don't hold them back. You want to shake the lulav? Here you go. Right, that's it. You want to do it today, you want to go ahead and receive reward for this? Absolutely. And the Rambam says, if a guy would want to bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, we would accept it from him. And Nasan Staka Makabum Imanu, if he gave Staka, we would accept it from him. And it seems from the Rambam that so too all the other mitzvahs. That if a non-Jew says, I would like to do this, we would not hold him back. And not only would we not hold him back, but the simple reading of the Rambam indicates that he would get scarred for this too, that he would be rewarded for such an action. Which is an incredible thought, something which we would find very surprising. We would say, well, they weren't given these mitzvahs. They weren't given these mitzvahs, they were given their seven. If they do their seven, so we already weren't. If they do their seven, so then they could be considered from the Chassidim of Olam. But what about the mitzvahs that we have, and they'll sit in a sukkah, then go blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, and he's going to get schar for this? It sounds outrageous, it sounds blasphemous. And here the Rambam says clearly that a person will get schar for this, which is something which I think we would all be quite surprised by. What about the kind of, I don't know, it sounds like any of the other mitzvahs. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like anything. Now obviously when he says Shar HaMitzvahs on the top line, he means that except for learning Torah and like you said, Shabbos, that's out. Okay, but the fact of the matter is that from the others, the Rambam seems to say clearly that would be within reach. Now, the title of today's shiur was, Can a Non-Jew Put on Tefillin? Okay, so let's say he said, well, I'd like to put that on also. It seems like a very intriguing thing. You know, sometimes you have a situation on an airplane, you know, and everyone is uncomfortable after davening, you know, whatever, in an airport, have to put on tefillin, and maybe we feel very uncomfortable, but you never know. Sometimes people could be impressed by this too. So what would be if someone came over and said, you know, I'd also like to put it on. Well, why not? You know, it seems like I see you're a very religious person, you seem very, you have great convictions, I'd like to try that also. Well, probably it would be that, you know, you have to do the other seven too, but, you know, let's say the person says, you don't know anything about the person. He comes up to you, you know, and you don't know what the story is. He says, I want to put on this villain. It seems from the Rambam here that not only could he do it, not only ain't moaning also, not only would you hold him back, but if he did it, he would get rewarded for this. So here we have the Radvaz. We mentioned in the past and on numerous occasions, the Radvaz was from the great Rabbonim of Egypt. The Radvaz lived in the 16th century, and he actually held a similar position in Egypt to the one that the Rambam held hundreds of years earlier. And the Radvaz wrote a commentary on the Rambam. And he writes over here, it's on the right-hand side of the page, the third line from the top, the Radvaz says, the Mikomokom, the mitzvah shetrikim kedusha v'tara. The Radvaz says that there are certain mitzvahs that require not just performance, but requires an added level of purity and kedusha, such as kigon tefillin, sifrei Torah, u'mezuzah. Says the Radvaz, Ani chochek lahachmir shelo yanichu osam lasosam. So the Radvaz says, those I don't think you could allow him to do. That you can't allow him to do, because that requires a greater level of purity. So if the airline personnel comes over and says, you know, I'd like to also put on the tefillin, if he's Jewish, it's one thing. But if he's not, so the Radbaz says, he doesn't say a clear ruling, but he says, I'm inclined to be strict in this, because this requires an added measure of kedusha, this requires a higher level of purity, and that not. Okay, so we could take that off the list too. But we're still left with many mitzvahs. We're still left with many mitzvahs. Yeah,
doesn't this refer to writing?
Writing the Sefer Torah, I suppose, yeah. Writing the Sefer Torah. Oh, you mean as opposed to wearing it? No, I think, I don't know about that. Sefer Torah is writing it, but no, but tefillin, I assume he means wearing it. I assume, you know, he means, I'm not, I'm truth is I didn't consider what he's saying, but what's the Kedusha Tara Mezuzah means having, I don't know, it means having a mezuzah, it means not writing a mezuzah, but writing a mezuzah is not a mitzvah per se. In other words, writing a mezuzah anyway, I think you have to be in the mitzvah in order to write it. So in other words, a non-Jew would need to swallow, and I don't think that would be a fiddish of it, that a non-Jew should not be able to write a mezuzah with Sami because of the fact that he's not yeshno the mitzvah, I assume. I don't know, I assumed when I read it that he means to put on the tefillin, or to have a mezuzah. In other words, the mezuzah has to be also, there's a certain kedusha, you have to treat the mezuzah with a certain respect. That's what I thought. I could be wrong, but I assume that's what he means. But I mean, we know that tefillin needs a gufnaki. We know that the person is not allowed to even doze off while wearing tefillin. That's halacha on the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, I assume that's what he means. So as far as the halacha as far as the question, can a non-Jew put on tefillin? Probably not. But can a non-Jew shake a lulav? Can a non-Jew sit in the sukkah? He'll come sit in the sukkah and he'll say, okay, I want tzar for sitting in the sukkah. So it seems from this Rambam that if a guy came to you on sukkahs, and I noticed he had your sukkah in front of your house, and he says, you know, this seems like a very beautiful, meaningful thing, and I know that you people are doing it because this is a mitzvah that comes from God, so I would like to do it also. I'd like to do it also. I would like a chance. So it seems from the Rambam that you would allow him to do it, and you would get schar for such a thing. So, okay. You could, right? That would be a scenario where it would happen. That would be a scenario where it could happen. I would just take the opportunity to point out that a person who is studying for conversion, a person who is interested in becoming a ger and is not there yet, is beyond these laws. We're not, that is not in the discussion. That's different. Such a person has the right to do many of the mitzvahs. Tefillin, I believe, is not one of them, but for this reason. But the other mitzvahs, a person who is en route to gerus can do. But the discussion here is not about that. The discussion here is about a person not converting. He's not converting. I'm staying the way I am, but I want to do one of these mitzvahs. So what's the story? So now, if you will say, Rabosa, you'll say this is crazy. You know, this is what happens when you take a vacation in the summer. You know, you go crazy. Here we come back with happy courses. You know, we start the first year of the year. We start off, and non-Jews could do the mitzvahs. You know, what in the world? You know, I sat out in the sun too long. So the fact of the matter is that if you think about it, we have in halacha a category of observance of mitzvahs which is called Eina Mitzvah Vavosa. Meaning that we have, even in our, amongst Jews, observance of mitzvahs, so there are scenarios where a person who is not obligated to do a mitzvah can do a mitzvah. What would be an example of that? Well, let's say your wife says, I want to shake a lulav. Well, your wife says, I want to sit in a sukkah. So the halacha is, we know that women are exempt from both of those mitzvahs. The woman doesn't have to shake a lulav because the lulav is a mitzvah to say shazman drama. A woman does not have to sit in a sukkah for the same reason, also because the drasha Ezra, but the fact is women are exempt from those mitzvahs. A woman is exempt from tekiah shofar technically. Right? A woman doesn't have to come to shul to hear the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because it's a time-oriented mitzvah. And we know the rule that time-oriented mitzvahs, women are absolved from. Right? And so too, many, many mitzvahs like that. We have many, many mitzvahs. The Count Spheres of Omer would be another example of a time-oriented mitzvah. And this is a clear halacha. Right? The fact is, women in our time, women are scrupulous to do it, and it's the right thing, so women do try to come to shul on Rosh Hashanah. But the fact of the matter, and today, in our culture, in our situation, it's easy for people to do it, and therefore it's a long-established tradition that women try to do it. But technically speaking, a woman doesn't have to do these mitzvahs. And yet, a woman can fulfill them, and we believe, surely, would be rewarded for doing such a thing. In other words, if a woman sat in a sukkah, right, so is it a waste of time for her? It's not a waste of time because we say that a person who is eino mitzvah va'osa, a person who is not commanded to do a mitzvah but nevertheless does it, still gets reward for it. Not only that, but Ashkenazim hold that a woman can even say a bracha on such a mitzvah. That a woman could hold a lulav and an esrog in her hand and say Asher kitshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al matilas lulav, and you say, what? Listen to what you're saying. That you commanded us and you missed us. You commanded us to take a lulav. What is Hashem didn't command you to take a lulav. But nevertheless, the Ashkenazic practice is that women can say a bracha on such a thing. So the concept of a person who is not obligated in a mitzvah doing a mitzvah is not new to us. And the fact that such a person can get a reward for that is not new to us. We have this all the time. So the question is, does it apply as well to a non-Jew? A non-Jew is the ultimate not obligated in a mitzvah, and it seems from the Rambam that a non-Jew could do it and would receive reward.
Without a bracha.
Because when a woman says v'tzivanu, she's referring to the fact that the men have the mitzvah. So therefore she's saying that we, collectively, the Klal Yisrael, were commanders. So Goy could not say a bracha, thank you for pointing that out, right? But nevertheless, should be able to get reward. So, we find, Rabbi said, this is what seems to be from the Rambam. And it really, in a lot of ways, doesn't have such a great practical relevance, but in the question really is, you know, how does this sit with us? So, in the Tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the Igros Moshe, in the second volume on Yerideya, Rav Moshe Feinstein says it can't be. It can't be such a thing. And we're not learning the correct shot in the Rambam. And he says, why can't it be? So he has two reasons why it can't be. So he has a very complicated presentation there, a very brilliant but complex presentation. But he makes basically two points. And one of them is, he points to a Gemara in Kiddushin, which is a very fascinating Gemara, which is now on the second side of the sheet, which says as follows. The Gemara tells us, this is a well-known Gemara on the top line, about a third of the way into the line. The Gemara says, Amar Achia, Gobel Mitzuva Ba'osa, Mimisha Einu Mitzuva Ba'osa. We have a tradition which is a surprising concept, but nevertheless we hold this to be true, that a person who is obligated to do a mitzvah and does it receives greater reward than a person who is not obligated and does it. In other words, if a man shakes a lulav and a woman shakes a lulav, so who gets greater reward? So one might have said, well, the woman should, because she's going the extra mile. She didn't have to do this. The man had to do it. He's just doing his job. The woman didn't have to do it, so she's going ahead and doing extra. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us not true. The Gemara says not so, that it's the opposite. That the person who is commanded gets the greater reward. Why is this? So there are different interpretations, but Tosfos on the Gemara, which is not on the sheet, Tosfos says, because of the fact that a person who is obligated has the pressure, has the achrayus, I have to do it. When you have to do it, that means it could be difficult. There are a lot of things that you have to deal with, and therefore I have someone who's not obligated, if it came down to it, could say, okay, look, I couldn't make it, I couldn't shake a loaf, I didn't have time, I couldn't sit in the sukkah, we had too many guests, I didn't fit in, so alright, not a big deal. But a person who's obligated has the responsibility to do it, has the pressure to do it, and therefore that makes it that it's a greater reward, because aside from the performance of the mitzvah, you also have the tirda of the mitzvah, you have the fact that I had to make sure that I did it, that puts a mitzvah v'osa over an ein mitzvah v'osa. This is what we hold. However, this point is, one could see, you know, both sides of the argument. You know, the other argument would be, but on the other hand, she didn't have to do it and she did. So in fact, the Gemara proceeds and says that Rav Yosef, one of the Amoraim, in his own mind, was struggling with this, and he originally thought that a person who's not commanded would be greater than a person who is commanded. Now, the Gemara, which you're about to read, you need one piece of background. Rav Yosef was blind. The Gemara says Rav Yosef was a blind man. And there is an opinion which is found in the Gemara Bava Kama, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a blind man is potter from mitzvahs. A blind person is absolved from the mitzvahs, and he derives this from Psukim, that this is so, and we don't hold the halacha this way, but nevertheless there is such an opinion. So the Gemara continues and says the following, Amar Rav Yosef, Meiresh Havamina, Rav Yosef says that originally I thought that Mandahava only, now Rav Yosef observed the mitzvahs despite being blind. So he says, Rav Yosef said that originally I thought that the person, if someone would tell me halachah Rav Yehuda, the Amar Suma Potter Min HaMitzvahs, if somebody would have come in his day, the dispute of whether a blind person is absolved from mitzvahs or not was taking place. So Rav Yosef said, if someone would have come to me and said, you know, the halacha is that a blind man is part of the mitzvahs, he said, I would have made a party. Why would I have made a party? Because I am blind, I observe the mitzvahs, and I would have said, wow, imagine what my reward is going to be. I didn't have to do it, and I did it. He said, however, but now, I'm skipping a little bit, he says, but hashta on the third line, hashta to shamisu adam rav chanina, but now that I've heard this teaching, that a person who is obligated receives greater reward than a person who's not obligated, so now it's the opposite. Now, if somebody, I'm waiting for someone to come and tell me that the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda. I'm waiting for someone to tell me that a blind person is obligated in mitzvahs, because in that way I'll get the greater reward. In other words, originally he thought that a person who's not obligated gets greater reward. And he considered that for a while, apparently. He's saying, Meresh, this is what I held. This is what I thought for a while. And I thought this until I heard the teaching that was said in the name of Chanina, or Rav Chiya, whoever it was, Rav Chiya, who says that Gadol Mitzvah V'Osa Mishayin Mitzvah V'Osa. I one day heard this teaching that a person who's not obligated receives, that a person, excuse me, who is obligated receives a greater reward. And now I'm hoping that they're going to decide that a blind man must do mitzvahs, because I've done the mitzvahs and I want to get the greater reward, and now I know that for being obligated you get a greater reward. So Rav Yosef vacillated on this point. Originally he thought that a person who is not obligated receives a greater reward, but then at the end he decided that no, a person who's obligated receives a greater reward. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he says, so what are you going to tell him? He says, so in Rav Yosef's original thinking, his original thinking was that a person who's not obligated gets a greater reward than a person who is obligated. So do you mean to say that he thought that if a guy shakes a lulav, he will get greater reward than if a Jew shakes a lulav? In other words, if we're going to take the Rambam literally, the Rambam says that a person who is not the Rambam says that a non-Jew receives schar for doing mitzvahs, so that's what it seems that the Rambam is saying. So if that now, if he receives reward for doing the mitzvahs even though he's not obligated to do the mitzvahs, and Rav Yosef thought At one point in his life, the Gemara doesn't say how long it was for, but it was presumably for a while. Rabbi Yosef was an Adam Gadol, he was well versed in the Torah. And he thought, he seriously considered, that a person who is not obligated, who performs a mitzvah, gets greater reward than a person who is obligated. So do you mean to tell me that he would have said, if someone would have asked him, who gets greater schar, a non-Jew who shakes a wolf, or a Jew who shakes a wolf? You mean to tell me that he would have said a non-Jew gets greater schar? That's outrageous. How could anyone possibly, think that? That strikes at the core of what we believe, right? These are the mitzvahs Hashem gave us, and if not to the non-Jews, right? They were Torah Tivolanu Moshe, Marosh Akilas Yasov. These are our mitzvahs. These are our mitzvahs, and if a non-Jew's going to do it, he's going to get it. He'll be ahead in schar than a Jew. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. Can't be such a thing. So what then? So what do you do with the Rambam? So Moshe says that we're not reading the Rambam correctly. That what the Rambam means is, when the Rambam said that when a Ben Noach does the mitzvahs kedei lekabel schar, we don't hold him back, he doesn't mean we don't hold him back and in fact he gets schar. But rather what the Rambam meant was, the Rambam was just saying that the motivation for the non-Jew was he wanted to get schar. In reality, he's not going to get schar. He's making a mistake. But this is why he wants to do it. And because this is why, in other words, he thinks that if he shakes the lulav, in other words, he's not doing it with shame avodah zarah, you know, he's not going to do the mitzvah in honor of what he believes in, right, then you wouldn't allow him to do it. If he would come and you know, so the guy with the cross would pick up a lulav and start, you know, praying to who he prays to, and so that we wouldn't allow him to do, that's for sure, right? No matter how you read the Rambam, we wouldn't allow that, right? If he says, I want to shake the lulav, you know, I want to take the lulav to my church and shake it over there, we surely wouldn't allow that. So says Rav Moshe that we're not reading the Rambam correctly. The Rambam doesn't mean that he would get stuck. Really, it's pointless. It would be pointless for a non-Jew to go ahead, and shake a wolf. Rather, all the Rambam meant was that this is his motive. In other words, if he tells you that, look, I'm doing it because of what you believe in, I'm not doing it for my own religious purposes, I'm not doing it for Avodah Zarah, I'm doing it just because this is, you know, it looks like a beautiful thing. You shake these four species, or you sit in a sukkah, such a beautiful observance, such a meaningful observance, I want to do it also. So, he's not going to get rewarded for that. All the Rambam meant was that if that's motivating him, then there's no concern of Avodah Zarah, and because there's no concern of Avodah Zarah, you would allow him to do it, but in fact it would be pointless. This is what he said.
Why would a blind man be absolved in the first place?
So that's a good question. So there's a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Ayin Pei Chesam and Aleph. It's a drusha. It's not a logic. It's derived from Sukkim. The Gemara on the top of the page here, Yehuda, makes a whole drusha that a blind person should be absolved. We don't hold that law that way. But anyway, this is what Rav Moshe says. This is what he says, and he goes further and says that this must be true based on a different Rambam. Because if you look at the Rambam, here we are in the second sheet, on the second side of the page. So the Rambam says a very interesting and really strange thing. And that is, the Rambam here in Halacha Test, it says that Goy she'asek b'Torah chayav misa. Goy is not allowed to study the Torah, as we mentioned, except for the seven mitzvahs. Then he says further, v'chein Goy she'shavas, that a non-Jew who observes any sort of Shabbos, also not allowed. Okay, this we know from Gemaras that we mentioned. But then, if you go down to where the colon is, the Rambam continues and says, Klolo shel dover. The Rambam says the basic rule is as follows. Ein menichen osan l'chadesh dos v'lasos mitzvah la'atzman midaitan. We don't allow a non-Jew. In other words, the Rambam here is sort of, it seems like a strange thing, because it sounds like he's being darish time to the cross. It sounds like he's saying that the reason why is it that a guy can't keep Shabbos? What's the reason? So he says, you know what the reason is? Because of the fact that it gives the appearance that they're creating their own religion. Meaning they were given seven mitzvahs. They were given seven mitzvahs. We can't add to the mitzvahs, right? We can't take on other mitzvahs. We have 613 mitzvahs. We're not allowed to add more. So too. The reason why the Torah says that a non-Jew can't keep Shabbos is because of the fact that they're not allowed to add religious practices. They have seven religious practices and not more. And because of that, that's why that it seems that the Rambam is saying that's the reason for the puzzle. That's the reason why the Torah says they can't observe Shabbos. And therefore, the Rambam says, therefore the non-Jew is faced with the following decision. Either he has to convert, if he really wants to do the mitzvahs, he should convert. Or, he should stand by his Torah. He also has a Torah. His Torah has seven mitzvahs, not 613. He has seven mitzvahs. But those are the only two choices. So Rav Moshe said that it's clear in the Rambam that if a person, that a non-Jew is not allowed to add mitzvahs. He's not allowed to add anything because that's called chiddush das. That means he's adding to his observances. It gives off the appearance like you're making your own religion. This wasn't what you were told to do. You were told to do seven mitzvahs and not more. That's it. So based on this, Rav Moshe says that it cannot be. It cannot be. The reading of the Rambam is incorrect, despite it's incorrect, and therefore, in reality, it would be pointless for a non-Jew to do any of these mitzvahs. And the only thing the Rambam meant later on was that if he wanted to do it, so you don't have to fight him. In other words, if he says, can I sit in a sukkah in your uncomfortable position? You say, well, what am I supposed to tell him? You can't sit in a sukkah. So as long as he's sitting in a sukkah for sincere reasons, as long as he's not doing it for Avodah Zarah, then you can let him sit in a sukkah. But is he going to be rewarded for this? Absolutely not. This is the ruling of Rav Moshe Feinstein. However, it seems from many sources that this is not the case. And one of them is from a sefer, which I don't know exactly when this came into print, but we have, in addition to the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, in addition to the Rambam's Kol Halacha, there also we have in our time that have been printed up Tshuvas Rambam. They located manuscripts somewhere which had responsa, which had answers to questions that the Rambam was, after all, a Rav, right? The Rambam was a Rav in Egypt, among other places, and he wrote tshuvas, like many rabbanim, people would send him questions, and he wrote responses. So the question here, we have the final source on the sheet, the question was asked, can a non-Jew who is a mohel circumcise a guy? If a guy says, I want a bris, so can a mohel do such a bris or not? This is a question which is actually discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. So this question was brought to the Rambam, and if you look at the tshuva here, which is the second, the final paragraph on the page, so the Rambam ruled that mutar li Yisrael lamo hagoy, that is permissible for a Jew to circumcise a non-Jew, imrosa hagoy lichos ha'aru ha'sirif, that if that's the guy's interest, so be it. And then he says, wafi shekol mitzvah shehagoy oseh nosin lo le'aschak, because any mitzvah that a guy does, he would be rewarded for. Meaning it's not pointless for him to say, I want a bris. He said, I want a bris like you guys have. Amazing. Now you would say that this is at the core of this is what separates a Jew from a non-Jew. So fine, he realizes that. But he says, it's a mitzvah. So I know it has great meaning, so I want it also. I'd also like to be included in this. The halacha is, says the Rami could do it. Why? Because he says explicitly, because any mitzvah that a guy does, he would get tzad for. However, it would not be considered on the level of a person who's commanded. But nevertheless, he is allowed to do it, and he proceeds to say, "Bovachi asena kishu molded benavuas Moshe Rabbeinu." In other words, as long as the guy says, "I know this is a mitzvah that was commanded by Moshe Rabbeinu," "I know it was commanded by Moshe. I know this is from Har Sinai. I know this comes from Hashem, and therefore I would like to have this also." Says the Rami to do it. Why? Because any non-Jew who wants to perform a mitzvah would receive star for it. So here you have explicitly in the Rambam himself that apparently he meant what he said the first way we read it, not like Rav Moshe Feinstein's reading. Now, this apparently was brought to the attention of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he says, which he says in a number of places, he was not a great fan of manuscripts that were discovered in recent times that were printed up. We have today a lot of new svarim that have emerged in recent years, different Rishonim and Achron, they're constantly putting out things that they dug up in libraries all across the world. They found manuscripts. You have Mosar Rav Kook, you have Machon Yerushalayim, many that are dedicated to printing up manuscripts. And he was not a believer in things that did not pass the test of time. In other words, if something was part of the Masorah, and we had that this was part of the core of Halakha for generations and generations, then fine. But he writes that the new manuscripts that come out, he says, how do we know? How do we know necessarily that they're accurate? Maybe the person who wrote it wasn't so meticulous. Maybe he wrote it, there might have been mistakes. So therefore, he was so convinced that he was right that he says that all these things, he said, doesn't mean anything. It was a mistake. Whoever wrote it said, well, it's not accurate. Now, I don't believe it. I don't accept this as authoritative. That's what he said. However, there are many others who disagreed and who were impressed by this. And they say that, in fact, the Rambam meant what he said, that if a non-Jew did it, he would get stuck. I will ask, so what about the question that does that mean that Rabbi Yosef held that a non-Jew who did a mitzvah would get more reward than a Jew in his original line of thinking? So to that, Rabbi Moshe said, to that, people say no, that you have to make a distinction over here. You have to say that even though a non-Jew is not commanded in a mitzvah, and a woman is not commanded, let's say in the mitzvah of sukkah, a non-Jew is not commanded, and neither is a Jewish woman, but nevertheless there's a difference, because Jewish women have shaitas to the mitzvahs. In other words, even though this particular mitzvah wasn't given to me, but the body of mitzvahs as a sum total were given to me. So this is one I don't have to do, but it was part of the collective package that was given to us in Har Sinai. So that type of Eina Mitzuva Ba'osa would get a lot of schar. But a person who is mukta, a person who is removed altogether from this mitzvah, has no direct connection, just says, I would also like to participate, even Rabbi Yosef would never have thought that such a person should get more reward. That's the way they deal with the Gemara and Kiddushin. And as far as the Rambam here that says that a guy is not allowed to introduce a new religious practice, they say that also what that means is if he's doing it because he wants to take it on as a practice. In other words, they say that if you read the first Rambam carefully, the Rambam says that why is the Ben Noach want to do the mitzvah? Kedei lo kabel schar. In other words, he's not doing it as a religious practice. In other words, when we do mitzvahs, so we believe that, obviously, one of the fundamental beliefs is that we're going to be rewarded for the mitzvahs that we do. But really, a Jew doesn't do mitzvahs for that reason. Right? We have the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Al tehi ka'avodim ha'mishamshim es harav ha'manasu ka'avod pras. A person should not do mitzvahs only for that reason. It should be sincerity. A person say, God, you took us out of Egypt and has done so much for us, commanded us to do this, so we're going to listen. In other words, we do it for sincere reasons. So to do it for a sincere reason, that's the way a Jew does mitzvahs. If a guy wanted to do it for that reason, it wouldn't be correct. That would be a chiddush das, because that means that he's saying that I am taking on a new religious observance, that my connection to God is what's leading me. I feel so close to God that I want to sit in a sukkah also. That's wrong. However, what the Rambam meant was that he's saying that he's a very practical person, a businessman. He said, listen, it has nothing to do with connection to God. I want schar. I want to get reward too. I know I hear all about this, that you're all going to be rewarded for mitzvahs. I also want. Meaning that he's doing it on the lowest level of observance. I'm doing it just simply because I want schar. That, the Rambam would say, is okay. If he's doing it because he's trying to increase his inspiration, his religious observance, that's wrong. That would be wrong. If it's not from the seven mitzvahs and enough, that's wrong. But if he's doing it only because of the fact that I also want a reward, I want to sit in the sukkah because one day I want to get a reward for this, so then they say that's what the Rambam meant, that he would be allowed. So in the sum total, what comes out is it's really, it's from a practical standpoint, if a guy wanted to come sit in your sukkah, so it seems clear that, I mean, for a lot of reasons, you couldn't really stop a non-Jew for doing it. Most likely, the non-Jew would not be fulfilling the Rambam's reason that he's doing it because he admits that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded this on Har Sinai. They just want to do it out of curiosity. But probably due to Darkei Sholem, you know, and things like that, you couldn't really stop a person from doing it. But in terms of the more theoretical question, the mitzvahs have been given to us. What is the role of the non-Jew in the Tariyat mitzvahs? So it comes out, really, according to Moshe Feinstein, they have no role whatsoever, that they have no share in it, and doing it would be essentially pointless. Whereas, according to many other authorities, it seems that if they wanted to, if the guy says, I want to do this, and I want to shake a lulav, I want to sit in the sukkah because I would like to get some snartuf, he would do it, he would be allowed to do it, and he could receive reward for it too.